This is bookcareers.com live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of bookcareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. If you're looking for a job in book publishing, do check out the bookcareers.com website for all our services. There is bound to be something to help you through your current situation. We have a newcomers job club, a professionals coaching group, offer help with CVs, covering letters, applications and interviews, run a one-day how to job search in book publishing course, as well as support people through redundancy or even wanting to career change out of book publishing. Visit bookcareers.com or book into our careers clinic via the website, or my email, as always, is suzanne@bookcareers.com. Hello and welcome to episode 193 of bookcareers.com live. And today we're going to talk about negotiation skills, particularly when you're asking for help with the cost of living. I'd like to thank the Society of Young Publishers because they indirectly suggest this topic, as this episode is the highlights of a discussion I had last week for the SYP, where I was on a panel with Helen Weir, who is chair of the book branch of the National Union of Journalists, and Louise Dickens, who does digital marketing for Book Machine. But these are the notes I made before the meeting. The topic of salaries and salary negotiation will also form part of the next Book Careers Professionals Coaching Group meeting in October, and details will be released later this week. Negotiation is a big word, and often it brings up a scary image of people sitting confrontationally around a table in a discussion, asking for something from another person where the other person isn't going to give an inch. But real life negotiation is rarely as confrontational. We use negotiation skills all day, every day, and have done for most of our lives, probably without realising we are negotiating. We start at an early age by asking a parent or guardian to give us ice cream for breakfast, to pay us more pocket money, or as we get older, extend a curfew so we can attend a party. And as we start work, it comes to asking for some time off work, in such as, I know we're in a busy period, but can I take some time off? Or I'm in Frankfurt all week, can I have the days off in lieu? Or how do you prioritise your work? When they ask, can you do this now? And you responding, I'd like to finish this task first and then I will. Or you might negotiate within your group of friends, such as, if you do the cooking, I'll bring the drinks. All of these are examples of where we negotiate without realising. And if you are scared of negotiation, I hope these examples reassure you that in real life, you're probably negotiating through each and every day and having successful negotiation wins. If you are still worried about negotiation, what I would suggest is that to improve your negotiation skills, you practice, like with some of the instances I've already suggested, or you find some other really simple negotiations that you can make, or maybe you're in existing negotiations that you can improve on. The other thing you can do to improve your negotiation skills is to remember that 80% of communication is non-verbal. So when you are negotiating, watch the body language of the person you are negotiating with, but also watch your own body language. If, for instance, you are scared or fearful, without realising, often your shoulders will roll forwards and inwards and your head will drop forward, giving the impression that you are in a weaker position, even if you're not. If it's safe for you to do so whilst listening to this, Try it for yourself. Imagine you are talking to someone that you are scared of. The chances are, without realising, you've done as I've suggested. You're leaning forward, your head has dropped, but your eyes are looking up and your shoulders have rounded, especially if you are imagining the person you are fearful of is taller than you. Now imagine you are talking to someone who is scared of you. And again, if it's safe for you to do so, put your body in this position. I imagine you'll be standing upright with your shoulders back and your head held high, but in almost a relaxed position, as you are so confident. This might include having your weight on one leg and one arm bent with your hand on your waist, as though you're waiting impatiently for the less confident person to say something. Body language is a huge influencer in any negotiation, and you can often anticipate what someone is thinking by their body language. Listen too to the tone of someone's voice and watch their breathing as well. As if they are getting agitated, their breathing is likely to accelerate. If you want to learn more about body language, there are lots of books available. I think the first books I read on the subject were Man Watching by Desmond Morris and Body Language, How to Read Others' Gestures by Alan Pease. I've also had some personal development training which covered body language in some depth, but learning how to read the body language of the person you are negotiating with will help your own negotiation. Moving on, if you are considering whether your current working situation is right for you, then there are a number of previous podcast episodes where we've discussed what's right and identifying what's wrong, including an episode called Leaving Publishing and last week's episode, Restart Your Career. But this is why we run the Book Careers Clinic, so you can book in for a quick, confidential discussion that's unique to your circumstance. But my best advice is to talk to somebody, ideally someone who is qualified in careers guidance like me. Of course, I would say this, but I see lots of lay people giving advice when all they know is their own career and experiences. And sometimes this means they are only advising within the limitations of their experience. That they're saying, well, this happened to me. This is how I dealt with it. All the signs look exactly the same. This is happening to you too. Whereas someone like me, as well as having a wide variety of experience, has been professionally trained in holding guidance interviews where we are impartial, detached and inquisitive. And I can't stress this enough. You know, I have a degree level qualification in career theory, guidance and practice. It's all client centred. It isn't about running a careers organisation. The qualification is in holding careers interviews, understanding your personal situation, guiding appropriately and providing you with positive outcomes. That's the sales pitch over. But if it's salary or other working conditions you are intending to negotiate, usually the best time for you to do this is when you have completed a project or task or assignment which has either brought in money or that you've been praised for. But right now, with the news headlines as bad as they are about the cost of living crisis, I would say there's no better time to start a negotiation. And I'll add particularly, as in the past week, I went to the Independent Publishers Guild Autumn Conference and asked a question in one of the main sessions in front of a packed auditorium, plus all the remote attendees too, about what publishers were going to do to support their salaried and freelance staff through the cost of living crisis. So all those publishers outside of the big five are likely to have salary issues at the forefront of their mind. The good news is the response to the question was positive. A number of companies spoke about following the lead of one of the big publishers. I think it's Hachette who've done this, who've offered a parachute payment. And later in the day, a small company like Pluto Press has said they're already budgeting for increasing salaries and making the cost savings elsewhere in order to pay for the increase in salaries. So I would say that now is a good time as any, but do choose your moments. You can usually tell when your boss is in a bad mood, and that is not the time. The thing I would mention is that if you're offered a parachute payment, that is a one-off payment to supplement your salary, then do clarify on how it is being paid to you. Because if it comes in your salary as bonus, then you will be taxed at a higher rate. I think it's 40% on a bonus payment, regardless of your tax band. Whereas if it comes through as an additional salary for 1 month, you should pay a standard amount of tax on it. And the difference can be a few hundred pounds. So this can make a huge difference. So always clarify how they're going to make the payment to you and make sure that it's tax efficient. The key element before you enter any negotiation is you must have your facts. It's no good saying other publishers are putting up their salaries or I'm underpaid. You need to do your homework, and there is a whole episode on this called How to Negotiate Your Salary, and I'll link it in the blog post which accompanies this episode. Other things you might want to negotiate if salary is not always forthcoming might include working from home, going on a formal training course, renegotiating your hours of work, or a second job. And if you're looking to take on a second job or side hustles to boost your income, then the first place to start is your contract of employment. And it is always a good time to read through this, because when anything ever goes wrong or you ask for anything, it's the first document that will be hauled out along with your job description. So do familiarise yourself with your contract of employment. And even if your contract of employment says, no, you can't take on a second job or a side hustle, that's where the negotiation comes in. And Book Careers, as some of you might remember, was my original side hustle, and I negotiated it in my contract with several employers over the years. So don't be afraid to negotiate in a side hustle if that's what you want to do. And even if your contract says salary negotiations only happen in January or at another time, don't be afraid to negotiate your salary or at any time, or at least raise the issue, because it almost forewarns your employer. The most common negotiation pitfalls you should avoid are things like confrontational statements, such as, if I don't get this, I will quit. Because that helps nobody, unless, of course, you've got another job to go to and you just want to walk out. But I would say, even with the low unemployment rate, leaving a job without another job to go to is a very, very risky game to play. So don't make confrontational statements. The other thing is vagueness, not knowing your facts, not having all the facts in front of you. And the third thing is, if you are going to approach an issue which might be affecting lots of other colleagues, make a decision before you have the conversation to either go it alone or do it as a collective. but never broach the subject alone and then gather the a collective unless you are asked to or you're unionised. If you're looking for support whilst negotiating, then the best place is the National Union of Journalists, the NUJ. Do join a union. I'm a member of the NUJ, I have been for years, and they've helped me win an employment tribunal against a publisher, so I heartily endorse them. And as you know, at Book Careers, we have a careers clinic all year round, and I'm happy to answer quick salary questions based on our salary survey, although the highlights and salaries for most of the popular job titles are published for free on the bookcareers.com website. If you want me to do some detailed salary research or analysis, then usually there is a small charge as it supports our research, and it really is a small charge, but mostly I think you'll find I'll be able to give you the information that you require for free. My top negotiation tip, regardless of what you are negotiating, is always have your facts. See the company's business plan or their five-year plan. Read the interview that the CEO recently gave to the Bookseller magazine or Book Brunch. And if, for instance, you're negotiating salary and they're mentioning that they're paying the cost of living increases, don't be afraid to pull them up on this if it hasn't yet happened. And the one thing I wish I knew when I was starting out in publishing and that I would give to you as advice is to always put your health first, whether it's your mental health, your physical health or your emotional health. Without your health, you have nothing. So always prioritise your health. And the other thing, of course, is to never work unpaid. If you're stuck in a publishing job you'd rather not be in, or you wish you had a publishing job to be stuck in, please book into our careers clinic on the bookcareers.com website. And if you're in a publishing job, do join our Book Careers Professionals Coaching Group. There's no ongoing membership fees and you're welcome to join as many or as few calls as you wish. Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag BookCareers or on Twitter at BookCareers or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.